Chapter 6, Kojo. The police were coming to investigate a robbery on the ship Kojo was working on. Kojo's full name was Kojo Freeman, but everyone called him Joe. Joe had nothing to hide, but he did not like the police. They made him nervous. When he heard the police would be arriving on the boat shortly, Joe jumped off and started to walk home. Joe loved his job, and he was very good at it too. Ma Aku did not understand why he liked working on boats. She said that there was something evil about black men building the things that had stolen them from Africa and brought them to America in the first place. Joe lived in Baltimore with his adopted mother, Ma Aku, Joe's wife, Anna, and their 7 children. They lived a good life in Baltimore. Ma Aku and Anna cleaned houses together while Joe worked in the shipyard. They lived as free people, not slaves. Joe had been a slave once. He was only a baby, yet every time he saw one of the few slaves in Baltimore, he felt like he remembered. When he saw the slaves, he understood how easily that could have been him if Ma Aku had not rescued him and taken him to freedom. Ma Aku had brought him to Baltimore from the South. Sometimes she told him about their lives back in the South, about his mother and father, Ness and Sam, and all they had done to make sure he was free. Joe was grateful. Because of them, he did not have to worry about picking cotton in a hot field somewhere or being beaten and whipped by a cruel master. He had to work hard in Baltimore, but at least he was free. On his way home, Joe went to visit the Matheson house, where Anna and Ma Aku were cleaning that day. He bought a flower for Anna on his way. "Well, look who it is," said Anna when she saw him. She was sweeping in front of the house. Joe thought Anna was as beautiful as she was the day he first saw her. She had light brown skin and long black hair. "I brought you a little something," said Joe. He gave her the flower and touched her round stomach. Joe smiled. Anna was pregnant with their 8th child. "Where's Ma?" "She's inside cleaning," said Anna. "Go and help her," said Joe. "I'll finish up out here." Instead of going back to the shipyard, Joe stayed at the Matheson's house and helped Ma Aku and Anna clean. The Mathesons were a white family who had lived in Baltimore for years. They always tried to help people, no matter what the color of their skin was, as much as possible. The Mathesons were abolitionists, people who did not agree with slavery and wanted to end it all over America. When they had finished cleaning the house, Joe, Anna, and Ma Aku went back home to their small apartment. Their children, Agnes, Bayula, Cato, Daly, Urias, Felicity, and Gracie were playing inside. Sometimes it seemed like Joe and Anna would have a child for every letter of the alphabet. That's why they called the new baby H until they could decide on a real name. Being a good father was important to Joe. He wanted his parents, Ness and Sam, to be proud of the kind of parent he was. He wanted Ma Aku to be proud of him too. He knew she had given up a lot to take care of him, and she never complained about it. When he went to sleep that night, his arms wrapped tightly around Anna. Joe thought about how lucky he was to have his family. The next morning, Joe went back to work at the shipyard. When he finished work, he was surprised to find Anna waiting for him by the ship. He usually finished work before she did. As he started walking toward her, he realized something was wrong. "Mr. Matheson needs you to come to the house quickly," said Anna. She looked nervous. "Is Ma all right?" he asked. "Yes." "Then what's the problem?" "I don't know." They walked quickly to the Matheson's house. When they arrived, Ma'aku was waiting outside for them. Ma'aku and Anna showed Joe into the living room where Mr. Matheson and several other white men were waiting. "Kojo," said Mr. Matheson when they entered the room. He shook Joe's hand and asked him to take a seat. "I'm so sorry to bring you here like this, but I have some worrying news to tell you." One of the other white men in the room coughed. "There's a new law coming that says any slave who has run away from their plantation must be sent back to the South, no matter how long ago they escaped." "I'm worried about you and Ma'aku," said Mr. Matheson. "Anna and the children will be fine, but you two are runaways." "Nobody will be looking for us," said Joe. "It was so long ago, and I was only a baby." "Still, to be safe," said Mr. Matheson, "you should move your family further up north. Take them to New York, or even Canada." "What's going to happen?" asked Anna. They were in their bedroom later that night, after the children had gone to bed. Joe was finally able to explain what Mr. Matheson had told him. "I don't know," said Joe. "But Ma's old master died, remember?" said Anna. Joe did remember. One of Anna's cousins had found out that the man who owned Ma'aku had died. "Mr. Matheson says that doesn't matter. His family can still get her if they want to." "What about me and the kids?" Joe shrugged. Anna's master had been her father, and he had made her free. So Anna and the children were really free. Not like Joe and Ma'aku, who had false documents to say that they were free. "Don't worry about it," said Joe. "You and the kids will be safe. Let me worry about me and Ma." Joe knew there was no way that Ma'aku would ever leave Baltimore. Unless she could go back to her village in Ghana, she would refuse to go to another country. A few families left out of fear of the new law, but Joe decided not to leave Baltimore and move north. Anna was too pregnant to travel long distances, and Joe still felt safe in Baltimore. He tried to live and enjoy life as usual. Anna's stomach continued to grow with baby H, and their eldest daughter, Agnes, turned 16 and got engaged to a boy called Timmy. Timmy was the son of the preacher at their local church. He was a tall, thin boy whose parents were both free. Timmy and Agnes got married at Timmy's father's church on the same day the new law about runaway slaves was passed. Just as the preacher was about to close the ceremony and introduce Timmy and Agnes as the new husband and wife, a little boy ran past the church and shouted, "The law passed! The law passed!" Instead of celebrating Timmy and Agnes's marriage, everyone looked scared. The preacher finished the ceremony quickly, and everyone left the church in silent fear. As the weeks passed, they heard that James Hamlet, a runaway who had lived in Baltimore, had been caught in New York City. He was the first, but everyone knew that there would be more. More and more people began moving to Canada. "Are you sure you and your family won't leave?" Mr. Matheson asked Joe. "If they catch you, it could be the end, Joe. Please, make sure you carry your free documents with you at all times." Joe nodded. Even though the law had passed, a lot of people were not happy about it. All over the North, black and white people got together to protest the law. Joe had never seen so many people join together about anything before. In the mornings, before Joe and Anna went to work, Joe made the children practice showing their documents to make sure they knew what to do if anyone stopped them. "You worry too much," said Anna. "Nobody is looking for the kids. They're free. Nobody is looking for any of us." But still, Joe made them all practice, even Anna. Sometimes she was forgetful and would leave her documents at home. One day, after she had left to go to the market, Joe saw her documents still on the table. He chased after her to give her the documents and then shouted at her until she cried. He felt terrible for shouting at her, but he knew that she would never leave them at home again. Then one day, Anna did not come home. Joe ran to the bedroom to see if she had forgotten her free documents again, but he could not find them anywhere. When the children came home, Joe asked if they had seen her, but they had not. When Ma'aku came home, she realized something was wrong immediately. "Where's Anna?" Joe ran out of the house without answering her. He ran to Mr. Matheson's house. "She hasn't been home since the morning," said Joe. His voice started to break. "Go home to your kids, Kojo," said Mr. Matheson. "I'll start looking for her right now." Joe nodded and slowly walked home. He started to think about what life would be like without Anna, the woman he had loved for so many years. He tried to believe that Mr. Matheson would find her soon because he did not want to accept what he was already starting to know in his heart. Anna and baby H were gone. For weeks, Joe, his family, and Mr. Matheson searched for Anna. Mr. Matheson contacted a lot of people to try and find her, and Joe asked everyone who worked in the shipyard, but nobody had seen Anna. After weeks with no news, one day, Mr. Matheson finally had something to tell Joe. When Joe went to his house, he found Mr. Matheson standing beside a small black boy. "Go on," said Mr. Matheson. "Tell him what you told me." The boy looked up at Joe nervously. "I saw a white man take a pregnant woman into his carriage. He said she was too pregnant to walk home, so he took her." "They sold her," said Joe. "We don't know that, Kojo," said Mr. Matheson. "Maybe they had to take her to the hospital because of the baby." But even Mr. Matheson did not sound confident. They had checked every hospital around, but nobody had seen Anna or baby H. "They sold her," said Joe again. "And our baby, too." "We'll keep looking, Joe," said Mr. Matheson. "We'll find her, I promise you that." Joe could not hear him anymore. His world was falling apart around him. When he went home, the children and Ma'aku were all waiting. "Is she gone?" asked Ma'aku. Joe nodded. Ma'aku sighed. She turned to Joe and opened her arms for him. "You'll make it through this, Joe. Your mother came from strong, powerful people. People who don't break. You're one of those people." Joe fell into her arms and started to cry. 10 years passed, and Ma'aku died. Agnes had 3 children. Bayula was pregnant. Cato and Felicity were both married, and Urias and Gracie both found jobs away from the family home as soon as they could. They told Joe it was so that he would not have to worry about taking care of them, but Joe knew the truth. His children did not want to be around him anymore. And, although he hated to admit it, he did not want to be around them either. He moved to New York to get away from the memory of Anna and found whatever work he could. He rented a small room from an old black woman who cooked his meals for him, and he spent most nights drinking in a bar for black men. After losing Anna and baby H, Joe lost a piece of himself. He did not feel anything anymore. He was not even angry. If anything, what Joe really felt was tired.